Thanks. Is this on? Did you guys bring your running shoes? You didn't get the email, the updated email? After Mark's message on Sunday, I thought I'd put a little more go into it. So I thought I would change the format a little bit and we would, go out and run. You know, we have an hour so we could get like 7 or 8 miles in. We go talk about stuff. So, no? Okay, so... no action, no impact, as he said. So, okay, as long as you brought your spiritual running shoes, I think we're good. We're good to go. So how many of you are distance runners? I know one. Oh, another one. All right. Good. Four. How many of you are...
Yeah.
Distance. Oh, long distance running. Long distance. So how many are athletes of... any kind. You do some sports and stuff, right? Okay, how many of you are alive? Okay, that's good. So distance running, athletics, you know, actually everyday life offers many opportunities for failure. You know, this summer series for Fuel is on failure, you know, dealing with failure, overcoming failure, you know, failure in general. So I want to teach you today or just talk to you today and just discuss a few areas where I learned about that during this running. So distance, a little background. Traditional marathon is 26.2 miles. So any race longer than that, say 40, 50, 100 miles is considered an ultra marathon. So I'm a distance runner and I have a passion for running. I just love running. So some people may ask, why run a 50-mile race? And I thought it was obvious. So I said, you know, how else can I get to the finish line? You know, but seriously, the reason I ran, because it was one of my physical goals, physical athletic goals as a distance runner. I always wanted to run a little further. So when I first asked God about training for this 50-mile race, I prayed about it, and I was reminded of the following quote, which says, a personal experience or endeavor that does not point to Christ could be considered worthless. So I didn't want this effort to be worthless. I was also reminded of the following verse. So teach us the number of days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, which is Psalm 90:12. This verse reminds us of eternal perspective, the fact that we need to be thinking about and doing things that have an eternal impact. I had a desire to run an ultra, crazy as it may sound, but I also wanted my experiences not to be counted as worthless. It was at that point that I asked God to teach me something in the process. I didn't know how he was going to teach me. I just knew that he would. I just knew that coming to him as his child and asking him to teach me something, that he just would. You know, I thought about my own sons and ones here, Austin. I thought about when they asked me to teach them something that, I have no hesitation. I'll do it. I'll jump at the opportunity to teach them. So I believe God loves to teach his children about himself. Wherever we are in our Christian walk, he wants us to grow more. He wants to raise the bar. So wherever we are, he wants us to be more and more mature, closer to him. He raises the bar. So along the 1,000 miles or so that I trained for this particular race, I was often overwhelmed, sometimes to tears, and as I ran along the pass in the woods, and I pondered about what he was teaching me. This race was a trail run as well, so the whole 50 miles was on trail. So I trained on trail, so I ran 1,000 miles on trail run. So I was usually by myself in the woods experiencing, you know, God and having a good time, actually. So along the way, when I was training, I also needed to, I mean, before I trained, I also needed to ask my family about it, because it wasn't a trivial thing. It was, it would impact my family a lot, actually. So I wouldn't start unless I had their support. So when I first mentioned this to my wife, Mandy, the conversation went something like this. I said, honey, I'm thinking about running a 50-mile race, ultra marathon next year. What do you think? She goes, sure, no problem. 15 miles? That's no big deal. You're already in pretty good running shape, so I don't see any problem with that. And I said, no, actually, it's 50 miles. And she said, again, yeah, 15 miles. And then I said, no, 50 as in 5-0. And then she said, that sounds like a crazy number. How's that possible? So she just couldn't calculate it. So my wife knew at that point that it was a commitment, not just for me, committed to do it, but for her and her support and the family support. Sacrifices would have to be made. We would have to, it would be stress on the family, and I really needed them to support. It really meant a lot to me when she said, yeah, I'll support this. So I started training. So I dedicated my training time to God, and I found that these long runs became a special time for prayer, thinking about God, meditating on Him, His Word, His precepts. And I said before, I had no idea how He was going to teach me things. I just knew He would, but I didn't know how. So basically what happened was, during my runs, sometimes I found myself after praying, and you know, I started thinking about my training schedule, or I started thinking about running, or you know, just really think about running more. So I started thinking about some aspect of running as I was running. And then all of a sudden, it's like God stopped me in my tracks. And whatever it was I was really meditating, thinking about running, some aspect of it, He related it to the Christian walk, just like that. And there was a flood of you know, aspects. So, and it's funny how it happens, because it always surprised me, but it was so natural and smooth, like a divine whisper. So the first lesson that had to do with endurance, as Alex read, and it came from Hebrews, as we just read this morning. So run with endurance the race that is before us. So the writer of Hebrews chose an athlete to bring that point across, and not just any athlete, but a distance runner. So I thought about it a little bit during my runs. Run with endurance. So what does it really mean? And why did the writer of Hebrews decide to use that analogy? Since I'm a distance runner, that running with endurance, you know, it resonated with me. And although I've run at that point several marathons and I put a lot of miles behind me, did I really know the fullness of the word endurance? What did it really mean? How can I experience genuine endurance and then understand what the writer said, why he chose that word? The Greek word for endurance is hupomenios, which means continue despite opposition. So one of the first lessons now is to understand what endurance is and apply it to the Christian walk. And then also understand how the lack of endurance may lead to failure. So I recall discussing endurance with my wife. So we talk a lot one time, and just in the early time, just talking about endurance running. And I was asking, you know, and she said to me with great insight, I may add, that it's going to be like this. During your 50-mile race, you're going to come to a point where you can't go any further. And you're going to hurt so much that your legs won't want to take another step. You can't. But you're going to have to put one leg in front of another and keep going to the finish line. So first of all, I was amazed that she had this kind of understanding about the distance running. But secondly, she was right. So during the race, I came to the point, it was about 45-mile mark. The outside part of my right knee, just right here, started to hurt. I don't know why, just started hurting. And I was running. And so I said, okay, that's okay, because I'll just shift my stride to just lean a little bit to the left and give it right knee a rest a little bit. So I run like this. And then all of a sudden, my left, outside part of my left knee, same spot, just right here, just these guys. And it started hurting. So I said, oh, I got to stop for a second. So I stopped shaking a little bit. And then not too bad, so let me just keep going. And then I had to stop. Then I run a little bit, and then I stopped. And then I just had to walk. It was so bad. But I put one foot in front of the other and started going to the finish line, pushing to the finish line. Needless to say, those last 4 miles or so, they were excruciating. I did run through the finish. I had to make sure I ran through the finish. But it was painful, those last... I didn't hurt anything. It was just overuse, I guess. I didn't damage anything, didn't injure myself in the sense I was back running in a couple of weeks. I believe I learned more about endurance than I previously knew, and I also probably more than I ever wanted to. So regarding endurance to the Christian walk, so God wants us to press on, particularly when we're facing adversity. The scriptures say that if you're a Christ follower, and if you have a desire to live in obedience, you will be persecuted. So now, in fact, all who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's 2 Timothy 3:12. We can't just give up and stop just because something's uncomfortable in our Christian walk or something's difficult in our Christian walk. If we're doing something that we know is His will, then we are to endure. We continue despite opposition. Yeah, so Hebrews 12 is a call to run with endurance. So it's let us run with endurance. And then I started seeing it spelled out in other places in Scripture. We have 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but you as a person dedicated to God, keep away from all that. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness. And Romans 8:25 is, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, endurance, character, hope, as Romans 5, 3, and 12. This requires a steadfast endurance of the saints, those who obey God's commandments and hold to their faith in Jesus, Revelations 14, 12. So we see here we are to pursue endurance, wait with endurance, embrace endurance, obey God with endurance. So if we start to apply what we know about the physical, which is the physical endurance, we could truly see how it applies to our Christian walk. We start to see how what is required in a spiritual sense. to be obedient to God, to love Him with all your heart, it's clear that endurance is a vital element to help us keep from failing in our Christian walk. So that was endurance. So it wasn't every run that this happened. It was over several months and a lot of miles. And there were 12 basically lessons. So the second thing that came about in this order, in the book I actually write the order that they came. So God taught me about passion. So as I said, I love running. If you're around me long enough, I'll most likely find a way to bring the topic out. And unfortunately, those who are around me the longest will hear too much about it. So they'll hear a lot about running. I mean, I'll just bring it out. I like to talk about it. I like watching it. I like the fact that Olympics are on. We're going to watch it. I can't wait for the track and field to start. I like to get others involved in it. I like to train others. I like all aspects of it. I have passion for it. So I've been running for a long time. I calculated that I've run about 31,000 miles in my life so far. The circumference of the earth, about 25,000 miles, roughly. So I'm just past one lap. And actually, it's also equivalent to about 1,183 marathons, if you stack it back to back. So one of my lifetime physical goals, the Lord willing, is to complete the second lap. So to do two laps around, so 50,000 miles. It's going to take a while, but I'll get there. So there was a runner in the 1970s, who by far had the most passion I've ever seen expressed for running, expressed in anyone. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Yeah, Steve Prefontaine. He still holds the record for like the 2 mile or something. He was just an incredible runner. He declared that when he raced, that he left everything on the track. When he crossed the finish line, which was usually first, he gave it his absolute all. He was totally spent. He once quoted that to give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. A quick word study on passion reveals the following. That was it. No. Passion, in Greek, it's Pasco. Its meaning is to suffer or to endure. So I thought that was interesting when I looked that up. I was surprised to see the close relationship between passion and endurance. I never would have put those two together, really, but God did. Passion is the emotion applied to a very the emotion applied to a very strong feeling about a person or a thing. Passion is the intense emotion, a compelling feeling, enthusiasm, or the desire for something. Passion is a boundless enthusiasm. Strong says this about passion. Strong says to experience feeling. It relates to any part of us that feels strong emotion, passion, or suffering, especially the capacity to feel suffering. The Lord has privileged us to have a great capacity for feeling, so passion, emotion, affections. Indeed, this is inherent because all people are created in a divine image. So I always try not to put running in front of God. So I always let God be running back here in front of God. But when I was meditating on passion, the Lord impressed on me in a very strong way. In fact, that was probably the most impact on me, this particular lesson. that as much passion as I had, so as much passion I had for running, I needed to, so my passion for him should far exceed that. So I always put God first, running second. But when I step back and look at my passion, it was like this. So my passion was much more for running than when I looked at my Christian walk and when I looked towards him. You know, that hit me really hard. I still feel it here. So how can I have more passion for running than for the creator of the world? For the one who loves us deeply, the one who went to the cross. So we're called to love God and people. So Jesus most eloquently related this way. And you're familiar with this verse. It's Mark 12, 30, 31. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. So that's passion. So, you know, try doing something with an all of an aspect of yourself. Something that requires all your heart. You know, that's really difficult to understand. That requires all of your soul, all of it. That's complex and easier said than done, if you think about it. Something that requires all of your mind. You know, it makes my brain hurt just thinking about it. Something that requires all of your strength. You know, that's exhausting and depleting. We usually live in a way, such a way to leave a little reserve. A little saved and really not give up everything. Using all of something or all of our resources is something demanding, it's something challenging, it's something strenuous, and it's downright grueling if you just live all of something. And then, you know, that sounds a little bit like suffering, which brings us back to passion. But however, don't be dismayed with this. The Lord would not call us to do something that we're unable to do. In our obedience, he will strengthen us. We'll be strengthened by him. He'll give us the strength necessary to do as he requested. He gives power to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. That's Isaiah 40:29. And finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. So Ephesians 6:10. So it's apparent that passion for him will drive how we act, how we worship him, how we show obedience to him, how we love others, and many other areas in our Christian walk. I might also submit that our lack of passion will also drive that action. So God showed us his passion by sending his son. He gave himself for us. Our passion can and should be nothing less than 100% for him. This lesson changed my perspective and the manner in which I was conducting my life. So in summary, endurance and passion are only two of the 12 lessons that I learned during that time. But they're the first two I just wanted to share with you because they had a great impact. For Christians, deciding to follow Christ in our daily walk may be difficult. It may take endurance, discipline, focus, sacrifice, commitment, choice, and a lot of trust. These are the things that God taught me. It may seem like a peculiar and unlikely venue for such lessons, but that's what he used. He was able to take something that I really love, something I'm passionate about, and in a very special way teach me something about it and about him and about his spiritual truths. So through this experience, I've changed, not because I ran a long race, but because of what God taught me along the way. And that's all I have for today. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Just listening to you, I thought, you know, your goal and your passion in your running taught you all these lessons. To me, the phrase that came to mind was, God was teaching you very deeply what it means to be human.
Yeah. Yeah, so I made a summary here. These are lessons. Left-hand side was in the order of this 1,000 miles that I ran. I ran 1,000 miles to train for a 50 mile. So this is the order that it fell. So it's passion. I mean, endurance, passion, trust, commitment, discipline, strengthens. And some of these don't really fall in that. That's the way it came out. Focus or consistency. Choice, because it's your choice to follow Christ. After you say to follow him is a choice. You face obstacles, so it's overcoming obstacles. You sacrifice. You need to eat more. And that's pretty cool, because we're talking about consuming more calories to... When I was running these long training runs, about 20-mile training runs, I was eating a lot. I was consuming about like 4,000 calories a day. I just had to eat more, because if I didn't eat, I would get smaller and I would lose strength. Spiritually, we need to eat spiritual food to grow. And as a matter of fact, you need to eat more and more and more to keep growing spiritually, or you can't. So that was a big thing. And then there's rewards. That was the last one, the rewards. The finish line, obviously, but well done, good and faithful servant.
Second question. Typically, anything that we go through in life that's severe, kind of shock to us, will soften us. So how has God softened you?
Well, like I said, even though I ran a lot and I didn't think physically it wasn't going to be like that, but the passion part was, like I said, it hit me hard. I just couldn't believe it, that the passion wise, like I said, I really like running, but I wasn't putting God, he was first, but the passion for it, for him, was not there, and that's humbling. So that's why I wanted to share that one really today. I couldn't do the whole thing in a half an hour, so I had to pick two, and it happened to be the first two, but I definitely wanted that one. So that was so softening. And my wife and my family, they see there was a change too. Again, not physically, but afterwards, my wife and I would be talking about something, and then she would say, oh yeah, you didn't know that before that. So before this event, before this training, because you weren't like that before. Now you're like this, or you know that now, or you have a different perspective now. So that kind of thing. It's a big thing. So.
I was curious if you knew other runners, in particular that were Christians, that have also had a similar experience of sort of using that time to run. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this is sort of a perfect way to do what you've already got passion to do.
Yeah, there's two things. That one is this time my dedicated my running time to God. That was above and beyond even quiet time. So I had quiet time in the morning, and you know that time that you spend with God, your Bible study, reading, your listening to God, praying, and just doing your quiet time, meditating. So that's I usually do that in the morning. But when I went running and said I said teach me something, I dedicate all of that to Him as a above and beyond. Now as far as other, I don't think I've ran across anyone, no pun intended, anyone that does that. But I'm sure there are. But I just have in my dealings with other runners. Again, usually they're focusing on their training. They're focusing on what they need to do that day to get to their goal, which is to run the race. So there probably are, but I don't know. But I don't. But that's again an extra time. It's like I said, taking something that I really love and teaching me through that. I thought that was a special thing. Well, what that was at the beginning, right? So, like I said, this is like the second lesson. So that was at the beginning of this whole training, which is months. I mean, when I came back from that run, again, I was crying. You know, it was like really, I for the longest time, for weeks, I just started really meditating and thinking about that. How can I have anything? I started thinking about what God did. And of course, I knew this. I've been a Christian a long time, so I know about, you know, what God did on. But how deep did I know it? You know, how, as the song says, how deep the Father's love for us. It's just so. What changed was, like I said, our passion would change the way we view things, the way we even attend church or how we serve others or those things just came. I knew about those things and I did those things, but now doing it with passion is that's what changed. Loving my family, my wife, that all changed. You know, I love my family and wife, but now it's different now. Now it's even more so because of that. So I don't know if that answered your question, but as far as specific detail, but just the perspective of putting things in perspective. And also, you know, again, doing things in an eternal perspective as well, making an impact for eternity versus, you know, temporal.
Tom, is there a time in your life during this, there's been times sometimes in passion and obsession, was there a time in your life when you were running out of the way of, like, family or work or, you know, those kind of things, and if so, you know,
Yeah, I was always careful not to be obsessed with something. Now, I mean, that's my side of things. Someone on the other side may say you're obsessed with it. Yeah, he's a runner too. So somehow that, you know, got. I guess early on when I, you know, back in college days or something, I probably could have been obsessed with it because I really got into it, put a lot of miles early on. But I mean, again, from my side, I always was careful, really. Even I really didn't want to put running as the big thing. But when I looked at what is it that I have passion, that if I stack it up, all these things, what's the most passion I have? That was as far as a physical activity or something like a habit a hobby or something. But and also, you know, I am married, so my wife. You know, she reminds me of these things. So there's times that there's times I wouldn't run because of other things. Nowadays it's more like just running to, you know, for the love of it. And I'm not really training for something right now. This was this was 2 years ago. But at that time, like I said, there was a sacrifice to get to that point.
Relating just the story you told me also this morning about when you hit last word.
made it really difficult for us. And how did you take knowledge of what you knew about God, about running, and how did you translate that into I'm going to press forward? How did you work your way through that? Because you know the world teaches us, you know, you got to make yourself feel good, you know, act on your feelings, and obviously your feelings were out of pain. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That point was, it's more at that 45, it was more than an obstacle, because there was like 45 miles of obstacles already, and that was like the hardest obstacle. That was like after you've been pressing on, and after you've been going, because it's not easy just to go that distance, even 45, and that's hitting the absolute worst. Analogy, worst time in your life. So whatever that worst time in your life is, that's the kind of where that was. Because you're able to press through hard things, but this is the hardest. So the way to relate it to our life is, we know, just like Mark was saying, we know these things. We learned these things, and we read these things. We had quiet time with God. We know how... what God expects of us. We know He's going to be there for us. We know He's going to strengthen us. We know these things, but we don't go. Exactly what He's saying. We know it, but we don't do it. So just to stop and just, you know, I always just stop and ask God. Just like before I started, I had to ask God, is it okay to do this? Is it okay? So if you're facing that hard time, say, God, what did I do? And you have to stop and wait for Him. You have to wait for that. So that the biggest thing is to stop for a moment and don't do a knee-jerk reaction for something to get something, try to get past something. Does that answer that? The other thing I wanted to mention about these things that I learned is not only it's your whole... I feel like your whole life you need to, you know, wherever you are from this time forward, it's not like you learn something now and then you forget about it. So another thing about that, Alex, is just remembering the things that you did learn and remember things that God did teach you and remember when God was with you to bring you through it. So remembering all that. So it's a long distance. It's a long, like I've been running for like 30 some odd years. That's a long thing. Another thing is, with us who have family, is to pass these things on to your children. So the cover that I have on the book is this. So on the right is me running at 17, and that's how long I've been running, and I haven't stopped. On the left is Austin running at 17. Same stride, same, you know, it's just amazing that they're similar. He's running for Dominion, go Titans. John's not here. So this is Pat. Now, I didn't force him to run. I didn't say, Austin, you got to go out and run because it's good for you. He actually just saw me doing it all of his life. He just saw me doing it. So he, when he started running, he took it on, and I don't want to speak for him, but he started running. He kind of liked it, did some more. And then so it's something that was passed. This is a physical, I mean, a hobby or something that was passed to him. But more importantly, what's being passed to him in our household is God's principles being passed to him. And Ian, who's my oldest, and Faith, who's my youngest. So passing the baton to them for their generation to take. So that's the other thing. So it's the longevity of the discipline and the longevity of using these things as far as being with God and taking that long walk and also passing on to the next generation in your family.